Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Shona Ward.
Right. Well, hello, guys. This was going to be my husband, but as we've just prayed, he's not actually here. So, here I am. He said, "You can do the preach," and I went, "Eek!" But who knows, when God opens a door, step right into it. So, here goes. This was going to be a two-part thing, because I was going to do the first little bit, and then Brian was going to follow on. But, hey, I get to do both bits now. So, what was the first bit? It was just actually going to be a book review. I was just going to share some stuff that I'd got from a book. But I've had to expand it a little bit. So, in November, you might remember, Pastor Paul gave us some pointers. He gave us 6 points. And I've got my diary here, my little notepad thing that I take, so that I wouldn't forget them all. But some of those points were like how we actually go deeper and how we can grow in God. And I took hold of those, some of those ones, hence the book. So if I can just find it. Apologies to everybody. Right, here we go. Pursue God with reckless abandon was the bit that underlined it. And I thought, well, do I really do that? So this is part of it. Reckless abandon. Yeah, it's hilarious. Okay, so one of the points was prayer. One of them was fasting. One of them was reading and rereading the Bible, reread the Gospels. One of them was books, hence the book. One of them was get prayed for. One of them was follow. And one of them was obedience. So the Bible, that really spoke to me, because I thought, yeah, I need to get deeper in the Word. I need to read the Word more. So I combined that with Pastor Paul advising us to reread the Gospels. And I started in John, which is a great place to start. And it's been really, really good. Another point was books. And I don't know if you remember, but Pastor Paul talked about Hind's Feet on High Places. And I tried that book years ago, and I really didn't get it at all. It's in a sort of allegory. And I didn't get it. I couldn't relate to it, and I just thought, no, not for me. At this time, when Pastor Paul was mentioning it, he mentioned about a heart, and he mentioned about a little stone and how God placed something in the heroine's heart. And it really spoke into where I was at the time. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take hold of that one. And I ordered the book from the bookshop, and it came, and I read it. And it really spoke into me, into my situation where I was. And so that got me thinking about different things that God points along the way, different people he brings around, different advice that they give you. And what can you do to go deeper, and how do you follow? If we look at Philippians 3 verse 12, this was a verse that spoke to me once down in Horsham. We were at a leaders conference, and actually I think I got it marked it in the truth rather than that one. Yeah, here we go. I do not claim to have received all that God has for me, neither have I yet been made perfect, but I am always moving forward to take hold of everything that Christ Jesus has planned to give me when he laid hold of me. And I thought, that was a verse that was prayed over me, and I thought, okay, taking hold of everything. And the verse The following verse says, "My brothers, I know I have not yet appropriated everything, but I maintain my focus. So I forget what lies behind me in the past, and I reach out with longing for what lies ahead. Yes, I press on towards my goal, which is to gain the prize that God has for me when he calls me home to heaven in unity with Christ Jesus." So this is a bit of what was on my heart, was what do we follow and how do we follow it? And it led me to thinking about signs and wonders, and you know, signs are there, they're all around us. I put down a few. There's the rainbow. Now, you know, if you're a Christian, you normally see that rainbow and you think, okay, that's God's promise that never again will the world be flooded. That's his promise to us, that he will be with us. He will be our God. Or, in a more worldly sense, it could be, well, it's going to rain, or it is raining, or there's rain somewhere around. So that got me thinking that when you see a sign, there's always two things. It gives you a choice. It gives you a choice as to what you believe and what you can take hold of. There's other verses. If we look at Matthew 12, verse 16, I think it is. And this was where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. And they were asking for a sign. And Jesus quoted this one. And I'd actually forgotten it was in here. Till I was doing this, obviously. And God showed me. In 12. Yeah, that some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of earth." And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting, because sometimes we think that signs are there, but actually God gives the signs. He doesn't want us to seek a sign. It's like we don't seek the sign, but when they are there, they're signs that that we can read and we can see. One of them was red sky in the morning, which is one that Jesus said, and I'm not sure of the scripture reference, but I think it's Matthew somewhere, so you can pick on that. Thank you. 16, I've been told. There we go. Oh yeah, we can read that actually. Chapter 16, verse 1. "Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and, testing him, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, 'When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening.'" So there are signs that everybody can see. And Jesus again said here, "A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah," which he was talking about the sign, and that sign was going to be his crucifixion. So all these things Jesus was saying point to him. He was the Saviour. He was the Messiah. You could actually see it quite plainly if you read the signs, if you interpreted the signs properly. And another sign I thought about was the star that the wise men followed. Now, they could have seen a star. They knew a star meant something. They meant, you know, normally in those days they've interpreted it to mean that there was a king. But when they first saw that sign, they were far away from the king. You know, they had to make a huge long journey. I don't know how long it is, because not sure. But they had to follow the star. And that got me thinking, yeah, actually, we need to follow the signs. We need to follow what it is that God is showing us. This was one purely for me, because I'm trying to lose weight. And one of the signs that you need to lose weight is your clothes get too tight for you. And it's a sign that you need to cut back on what you're eating, or maybe that you need some exercise. And that's a basic sign, isn't it, really? Brine, that, you know, we've already prayed for brine, but your gallbladder producing stones is a sign that you've got too much fat in your diet. So it's a sign that you need to cut back. It's a sign that you need to change your diet. You need to adjust. And sometimes I was thinking, well, yeah, that's true, isn't it? God gives us these signs. I mean, like the 6 points I mentioned earlier were in a sense God speaking through Pastor Paul and giving us some signs, some hints, something that we can follow, something that will take us deeper into him, bring us a fresh revelation of what it is he's doing in our life. But we have to follow the signs. We have to pick them up and we have to run with them. And I was thinking that, so what do we do in response to seeing a sign? If you turn with me to Hebrews 2, and verses 3 and 4. The Lord says here, "This salvation by which we are made totally acceptable to God was first revealed by the Lord himself, as he has been confirmed by those who heard him speak personally. God also verified this message of salvation through the signs, wonders, and different miracles that Jesus performed. And it is proved beyond doubt by the gifts of the Holy Spirit he has given to his people according to his purposes." And I thought, wow, you know, all those signs that Jesus did, they were to confirm that he was the Messiah. But if you read through John, as I've been reading through John, you read the statement, "And some believed, and some believed, and some had faith in Jesus." Because there were some that didn't. There were some that chose to go to the Pharisees, go to the rulers and say, "This Jesus person's doing this, and this Jesus person's doing that." So there's always a response, but the signs that God put and the signs that Jesus performed were there to prove that he was the Messiah, that we could put our trust in him. And today, that same Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gives us signs through the Holy Spirit that are called the gifts, that are there for everyone, that are there to prove, that are there to show that Jesus is alive, he is raised from the dead, and that he will lead his people, and that one day, as that verse in Philippians said, we will attain the prize that he's got for us. He's taken hold of us for a plan and for a purpose. And that's why we follow, that's why we press ahead. Because this earth is just temporary, and one day it will pass away. But eternity will last forever. So I thought that in John, you got the response of the person's heart. That when somebody chose to believe, it revealed their heart. And when some of them chose to go to the Pharisees, that also revealed something about them too. I've been a Christian for quite a long time, since I was 13. I might as well let you know that this coming year I will be 50, so you can do the math. And when I grew up as a Christian, I got saved through a Gospel Hall children's hour, and I had some really good spiritual friends who invited us around to their home, opened their home for us, and showed us the scriptures, and we're just friends and good mentors. But the one thing that it left me with was like I had a kind of blueprint in my mind. Right, you're a Christian, so you do this and you do that, and you don't do the other. And the word of God means this, and it means that, and it doesn't mean that. And I went out to Germany because I joined the Air Force, and one of the things I wanted to do was go overseas. So I got posted to Germany, and there was lots of talk about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, those can't be right, because I've been taught that they were for that time, and so these people must be deceived. And I just happened to read a book by Jackie Pullinger, which is called Chasing the Dragon. And it's all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's all about people being saved and being set free from, in those cases, massive drug addictions. And they all got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they could all speak in tongues, and they, you know, they operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And my little head just went, oops. 2 million people is an awful lot of people to be deceived. Maybe I need to rethink this. And basically God just sort of like blew my blueprint out of the way, out of the water. Because it's a relationship that God wants. First and foremost, that's what it's all about. In you can read it through Genesis and through all the Old Testament, that it was all about a relationship. And that was the bit that I really hadn't got, really. I thought that the heaven bit came when you got to heaven, obviously. But that you couldn't really walk with Jesus. You couldn't really know him. That, for some reason, I'd kind of like missed that bit in my childhood and in the way I was brought up. But because God so longs for a relationship with me, he just put all these things along the way. And he kept putting them along the way till he got me. You know, I love that song we were singing in worship, Jesus, you have won me. You have shown me grace. You have shown me love. And it's true. And all along the way, if you think about it, and if you say, Lord, show me. Lord, I want to know you, and I want you to show me. I mean, I prayed that prayer when I was out in Germany. Brian got posted to the Falkland Islands. So I was sort of like in this foreign land, in a place, in a church that was proclaiming all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, oh, no, help. But I cried out to God, you know. I mean, Chris last week was talking about crying out to God. And he answers you. And I cried out to God. I said, Lord, if these things are for now, if these things are for today, then please can I have them? You know, in my little timid voice at the time. But God answers your prayer. He answers your heart. And so I took hold of that bit. And that was what God was saying to me, that there's always an opportunity to take hold. And because there's no condemnation, if you miss it the first or the second or the 99th time, he will still put signs along your way. He will still put people in your in your path that you will have an opportunity to listen to. You'll have an opportunity to take hold of those things, and then you will be able to grow and to grow deeper in your relationship with him. And you'll find yourself doing all sorts of funny things that you never thought you would be doing. So, just beware, you know. It is an adventure, and adventures involve a little bit of daring do. So in this book, Hind's Feet on High Places, it really spoke into me, because I was in a place where I wasn't really sure what was going on. Every time I was in God's presence, I was just crying, basically. It got to the point where it's like, Lord, I don't want to get in your presence. I'm going to cry again, you know. it was somewhere I hadn't really been before, to such a depth, if you like. And so I turned to my friends for help. You know, I talked with Pastor Paul, I talked with my friend Chris, and various people along the way. AD had a wonderful word for me, which just helped me to see some of what God was trying to say in it. And sometimes it's like that God will place things in your path that if you pick up, they will help you to see. I picked up that book and I read that book, and it helped me to see, that's what God's doing in my heart, that's what he wants. And that was just like relief, you know, revelation. Hallelujah, that's what he's doing. That's okay, that's right. And he's brought me through it to a place of amazing freedom, amazing boldness, amazing love, and an amazing compassion. There was a time where when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I used to get all these pictures. And I didn't really know what they were at the time. I was just a baby Christian. Some people call them visions. Some people call them a word of knowledge, whatever. But I called them pictures because that's how I saw them, as a picture from God. And I didn't really know what they meant. I just spoke them out. And the wise padre at the time knew what they meant and spoke into people's lives. So after a while, that kind of like seemed to stop. And God was sort of like saying, no, I'm taking you on a deeper way. But now it's like, because he wanted me not to just see the pictures that he was given, but to actually know him and to know his heart. And God gave me a really strong picture quite a few years ago. I can't really remember. It must possibly 20, I'm not sure. It was at prayer school in faith camp. And one of the words God spoke to me first when I got filled with the Holy Spirit was, I want you to pray. So I thought, pray, you go to prayer school, you go to prayer meetings, you lead things at prayer over in Germany. And so God gave me this picture, and it was one of those that just blew my mind, because it seemed to be saying something that I just didn't want to be happening, thank you very much. Briefly, I saw a crowd of wounded people, as if they'd been in a battle, and they were all hurt and they were all wounded. And I was there in among all these hurt and wounded people. And I was talking to them, and I was pointing up this hill to this church that was on this hill. And it was like, come on, we've got to go up there. This is where you'll get help. This is where you'll get recovery. This is where you'll be healed of your wounds. And so I pointed them up, and then as they came through the door, it was almost like they were meeting this person who was just all gold. So just glorious. And as they met that person and started talking to them, they got transformed. Now, that might not be particularly scary to you, but it was to me, because when I looked at the person who was covered in gold and that, it was me. And I was going, oh my word. And for months I didn't talk about it. And my padre at the time would eventually got sort of like said to me, Shona, he said, what did God speak to you at faith camp then? Yeah, because he knew there was something that I wasn't sharing. So I said to him, and then he talked about this story about two people going hunting a bear. And one went out and chased the bear into the hut. And he said, the one chasing the bear is the evangelist, and the one sorting the bear out, that's the pastor. And he says, I think that's what God's saying to you. Well, that wasn't exactly calming me down at all in the slightest. But I kind of like put it, it was there, I never forgot it, but I just thought, like, a bit like Mary, pondered these things in her heart and thought, Anyway, a long story. We came from Germany, went to UK, went to Bible college, went back up to Perth, kept going to faith camp. And one year we were at faith camp, and we were in the Sunday morning thing, you know, like the family service at faith camp, which is great fun. And Pastor Paul, bless him, was normally the one who was speaking at the time. And he got up and he was talking about this church, which happens to be you guys. you're the fulfillment of this church. And he'd only just gone up, so it must have been 2007, I think. And as he spoke, and he was speaking about his dream, this vision that he had from God, and it was just like bang, wallop, kaboom. This vision was back in my head. And God was just sort of like saying, And thank you, guys. And Brian was listening to what Pastor Paul was saying, and before you knew it, we'd turn round to ask each other, do you think God's saying go to Scarborough? And we turned round at exactly the same moment to say it. And that's a kind of sign in our life, in our walk with God. If Brian and I hear a word from God at the same time, in the same moment, it normally means, yes, that's what God is saying. But anyway, we tested it out, but that was basically what God was saying. So, you know, as you walk, you will have your own little signs that will tell you exactly what it is that God is saying to you to do. And yeah, so signs are there, and they're there for your heart to respond to. And sometimes, I think it was Tim Eldridge at one of the Go Deeper things, and he said sometimes it's a process. And so that vision that God had given me was something that he was showing me was for the future, but that I still had to take hold of it. So there might be some of you here, I don't know, you might have had a picture or a vision or a word from God and you're yet to see it. Well, maybe it's time to say, right, okay, Lord, show me how to follow so I can pick that up, so that you can work that out in me. And you never know what God might be doing with you. Okay, so that was really all I was going to say. Apart from one of the other books I picked up was this one, Spiritual Java. So I wanted to recommend it to you because there was a chapter in here and it was about signs and wonders, and saying that it's supposed to be normal for the Christian to be seeing signs and wonders. If you're a believer, signs and wonders are meant to follow you. Get this from the bookshop and enjoy it and see what God will speak to you about. That's all. It was just to leave you with the word that we have choices. The choices is to believe or to lean on your own understanding. And Proverbs 3:6 tells you what the word says, which is don't lean on your own understanding. I think at the beginning of my Christian life, I leant very much on my own understanding, whereas now I've learned to listen to what God's saying and follow him. And take hold of stuff. Sometimes take hold of stuff is just by doing it. James says, don't be hearers, but doers. So take hold of stuff. So I hope that's encouraged you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.